The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We have made comments from time to time about the idea of the gap theory, the idea of a tremendous time period between Genesis 1, 1 and 2. And perhaps now is as good a time as any other to deal with that in a little bit more detail. The idea of the gap is not the only notion that has been advocated over probably the century since the scripture was written, but it is one that has become very popular among Bible believers. The popularity, in my opinion, is due primarily to the Scofield footnotes. There is some indication that there was a man as early as 1500 who wrote a little bit obscurely, but his writing certainly could be interpreted to mean this. Then along a century or so later, there was a man, if memory serves me correctly, by the name of Chalmers, whose writings, again, a little bit more clearly would present this idea. But it really did not become popular until this century. And as I've mentioned, I think primarily because of the Scofield footnotes. And again, if memory serves me, I think the first edition of those the Bible with those notes in it was probably between 1900 and 1910. 1908 is the date that sticks in my mind. So I think since it is a area of discussion, and in my opinion, misunderstanding, we'll talk about it. Might be well, first of all, to mention some of the other ideas that have been brought forward to advocate the idea of a long time period. As I think I mentioned before, there is nothing inherent in the scripture which demands this, but the reason for it, I think, is that for any thoughtful Christian who hears or reads or sees regularly the idea of the earth being tremendously old, an idea which is essential to evolution and which is promulgated regularly by evolutionists, intelligent people, and particularly laymen, believers who do not know a great deal about science, listen to this, are faced with it regularly, and I think have to, in their own minds, come to the point where they say, well, here are all these dozens or hundreds or thousands of highly intelligent people who tell us that the earth is extremely old. Who am I to argue about that? Is there some way in which we can go to the scripture and harmonize the scriptures, the early accounts of creation in Genesis, with these ideas of tremendous age? And I think that's the basic reasoning that goes on in the mind. And so we see then all these attempts, because, quote, science, end quote, supposedly proves that the earth is extremely old, then there must be some way of reconciling this with what the scripture teaches. I will not take time here to argue about that. I'm simply giving you my opinion as to why there have been a great many people who have occupied themselves with trying to provide room for tremendous time periods. One of these ideas, one of these theories, views, if you will, which is used as a basis for trying to provide harmonization, is what is known as a progressive creative catastrophism. This idea, there's an implied gap of an indefinite but vast expanse of time between Genesis 1-1 and 1-2, during which time the geologic ages occurred, the ages in which God created the dinosaurs and other prehistoric creatures in the progressive order indicated by the fossils in the scripture. Another of these is known as day-age catastrophism. In this view, the Hebrew word in Genesis translated day literally means ages, as it is used in Zephaniah 1:7, for example. So that God created things suddenly, but at various times during the geological ages. Another is the idea of progressive creation. This theory agrees with day-age catastrophism, that the Hebrew word in Genesis translated day literally means ages. So that God, in a continual process, created things suddenly at different times throughout the geologic ages. Another is what is known as the alternate day age. In this one, the days of Genesis were actually 24-hour days, but these days of special creation were separated by vast geological ages of development and adaptation. Another is what is known as the Eden-only theory. The creation account in Genesis is largely about God's special creation of the Garden of Eden a few thousand years ago, which was prepared in six literal days. I would observe here in passing that the scripture really is saying the garden in Eden rather than the Garden of Eden. The whole earth was Eden, and in that earth God had prepared a special garden in which Adam and Eve were, but it is not the idea, the scripture is not presenting the idea that would be agreeable with this Eden-only business. Another is what is known as a concurrent or overlapping ages. The Creator is the God of eternity, and as the great I Am in Scripture, He is not concerned with time, as is man. He could have used six literal days, or 6 seconds, or 6 minutes, or 6 billion years, as He chooses. Time does not limit Him. So the days of Genesis might well refer to creative acts that may be overlapping in concurrence throughout reference to time, rather than consecutive events. Another is what is known as the split week. The infinite Creator is not limited to time, and certainly not to earth time. He could have used seconds, minutes, days, centuries, or even eons as He chooses. Thus, He might have used seconds for some events, eons for others, according to any purpose He might have. And another is what is known as a revelation day. Here, the days of Genesis are apparently literal days of 24-hour each, in which God revealed His creative sets, as He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, Psalm 121:4. The expression evening and morning in Genesis 1 obviously does not pertain to God. He could create animals and plants at night as well as day. I suspect these are probably not the only ones of these ideas which are used in an effort to try and provide long time periods, but I mention them simply to establish the fact that there have been a great many ideas, and they vary widely, as you can see. We have talked often in these programs where we have been discussing creation about the idea that if you accept the scripture as trustworthy and you simply sit down and read the Genesis account attempting to understand what it's teaching, then what the Bible believer is stuck with is simply a period of light and a period of darkness. And I've already addressed myself to the idea of whether these alternating period of light and period of darkness could have been long time periods. At least from Genesis 4, day 4 on, the day in which God created the sun, moon, and stars, as we've talked about. From that point, these are approximately 24 hours, approximately because of the fact that the earth is slowing down a little as it ages, and days, that period of light and darkness earlier would have been a little shorter than they are now. But they are roughly that 24-hour period. And as we discussed earlier, there is nothing that would suggest a necessity for having these first 3 days of creation before the creation of the sun and moon on the fourth day that would have been long time periods. And again, this is something that can be quarreled about. In my opinion, the 6 days were simply periods of light and darkness, and each of them were approximately 24 hours. Now, this gets us then to the idea of this supposed gap between Genesis 1:1 and 2. There has been, in recent years, quite a reaction to that. There are a great many people in these days who are taking issue with that, and there have always been people, Bible believers. I'm not talking now about unbelievers or atheists or people who scoff at the authority of Scripture. I'm talking about those who accept the Scripture and who are simply in disagreement over what it's teaching. I hope there are more people today who are having their eyes opened, at least to the problems of this idea of the gap. It came about, I think, let me go back and read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. One of the arguments used here is simply the idea that God would not have created the earth without form and void. That this is a description of a condition of the earth that simply would not have existed as a consequence of God's creation. Now, we will deal with this in a moment. But that, I think, is the point at which those who hold to the gap begin their discussion of that. The words in Genesis 2, the earth was without form and void. Without form can, in my opinion, simply means uninhabitable. And the word void means empty. So the earth was uninhabitable and empty. If you had been alive on the earth at the end of Genesis 1:1, what would you likely have died of? Well, when I ask that question to my students, sometimes they will say oxygen, air. And if there was no air around, that would pose a problem. Some people say food. Well, most of us could exist for reasonably long periods of time without having to eat. The problem would have been that you'd have been an immensely good swimmer, because the scripture is telling us here that the earth was covered with water at that point, so that there was no place for any terrestrial organism, including man, to be. So I think all the scripture is telling us here in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, is simply that at that point, on the first day, the earth was uninhabitable because it was covered with water, and it was empty for the simple reason that God had not created anything yet. And I think that really is the only intent of what is being said here. So that you would read then from Genesis 1:1 down through 1:5 as the first day's creative activities. And wherever you see the phrase, the evening and morning were, then that would simply mark the end of that particular period of light and darkness as a period of creation. If you go to the gap theory, then all of a sudden here are all kinds of things that have to be stuck into what is in essence an interruption in a Hebrew sentence.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.